Our scripture today is coming from Psalms chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 21. In the Pew Bible, it is found on page 465 for Psalms, and Matthew's scripture reading is page 870 through 871. From Psalms chapter 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the Lord, in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like the trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And then in Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Do unto others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only by the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. Beware of the false prophets, who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush, or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like the person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come and the torrents come in torrents, and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like the person who builds a house on sand. When the rain, when it, when, excuse me, When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. May God add his blessings to the reading this morning.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions yet? Or are you a seasoned veteran and just have given up on that altogether? You know, it's that time of the year when we start looking at our calendars and we look back and we see these news programs that recount all the major events over the last year. We start looking at all the high points and we celebrate those. But then if we're honest with ourselves, we also admit some failures, admit some things that slipped past us or things that we did that we regret. And we start looking toward the new year a little more quickly. We start looking at those empty days and we start asking ourselves, well, what can I do differently in this new year? How can I make my life better in this new year? Of course, we think about all sorts of different ways this shows up in New Year's resolutions. We think about those of us who decide, well, I'm going to eat better. My doctor's telling me I need to have a stricter diet. And we think about eating salads and drinking more water and pushing the cheeseburgers and potato chips to the side. Or we think about exercising more regularly because our doctors are telling us that we need to be more active. We can't sit on the couch all day. And so we think about running, or we think about walking around the neighborhood, and we think about all these different kinds of things, going to the gym. Yet, New Year's resolutions also include other things. Perhaps it's organizing, cleaning, getting some order to a different part of your life. Perhaps it's your yard. You look outside in your yard and you see those bushes have gotten extra tall, and you need to get out there and cut them. Or perhaps it's inside with your collections, whether it's figurines or books or music collections or the files on your computer. You decide you want to get in there and clean them up. Or we think about resolutions in terms of more personal things, about things in our life where we feel like we need to be better people, and we as Christians will want to go down this road asking ourselves, well, how can we be better people, more generous, more loving to those around us? And we might set up resolutions in those kinds of instances. However, many of us who are attuned to these kind of things listen to other voices this time of the year, those who start spouting off statistics. I'm not going to give you any numbers here, but I am going to give you a date. Do you have an idea when the vast majority of New Year's resolutions sort of fall flat, where there's failure and people just sort of give them up? When the cheeseburgers start calling, when that couch starts calling when you wanted to go to the gym, or when you look out in the yard and you say, well, I'll save that for another day. The more recent surveys are saying January 12th. We haven't even gotten 2 weeks out before those New Year's resolutions fall flat. You want to ask yourself, why is that the case? If we were so gung-ho about doing something different in the new year, how do we end up falling back into old patterns so quickly? These are the things we ask ourselves as we start to evaluate our character in those quiet moments when we pray in the evening or in the early morning. We want to speak openly before God about who we are as people. These are things that have to do with our character, with our heart, with our motivations. And for us Christians, these all tie back to our baptism, our commitment to follow Christ, and to be a disciple. The Bible, of course, has many different passages that we could go to evaluating our character, evaluating our motivations, trying to give us a sense of the kind of lifestyle that we live. The first one I want to go to is the one that Betty read there, Psalm 1. This is the first of the Psalms. Psalms is a big book, and you know many of them have given us several hymns that we love to sing. But this is the first one, and it's a short one. You may know this one, you may not. But it gives us two images. Nice, short poem giving us two metaphors for two different styles of life. It begins with the one who loves to avoid the seat of judgment and mockery. The one who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked, but instead delights in the law of the Lord. And what is the metaphor for that person, that life? It's a great tree rooted by a running stream, a constant source of water. And you know, plants love to dig down and get their roots into the water to suck up that sustenance, that life. And that tree there is planted, it's strong, it's healthy, it's growing, it's blooming. That is the life of the righteous, according to the psalmist. But the poem does not end there. Instead, it gives us a second image. It is a counter image. The image, and the psalmist is not one to mince words here, the life of the wicked. The life of the wicked is like chaff, this dried up particle that just floats along in the air, blown about by the wind. And that is the life of the wicked. No purpose, no end product, no lasting legacy. So that poem gives us these two dramatic images. And we look at that and say, yes, that's nice. We would like to be the tree and not the chaff. But the poem doesn't give us any guidance in how to be the tree other than to say, avoid the places of judgment and mockery and follow the path of righteousness. Jesus, though, gives us more direction, obviously. And this comes in the Sermon on the Mount. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount for several months. We took a break for Advent, and now we're returning to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm jumping to the end of it for the topic for today. And looking at Jesus' description, once again, of what it is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount begins with a listing of all sorts of values that God affirms, the peacemakers, those who are pure in heart, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It moves into Jesus' statements about how his ministry fulfills the law and the prophets, that he's come not to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He gives us all sorts of examples there. He gives us images about not judging others. He gives us the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. He moves on until this fitting conclusion. And in this conclusion, I want to draw out five characteristics of the life that is grounded, of the life that resembles that healthy tree by the waters. And there are five characteristics. Those disciples following in this path are active. They are selective. They are productive. They are authentic. And they are attentive. Let's look at these. The first is active. You have to be in pursuit of this life. This life is not just going to fall into your lap. You need to be out there passionately looking for God's will. And that's what you have here in Matthew 7. It is the famous passage about asking, seeking, and in the pursuit, we find that God responds. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Of course, there are moments in our lives when God could send someone to our door and knock on our door, but we still would have to actively get off the couch and go open the door. But other than that, this series of verses, Jesus is asking us to get out there and look for God's will. Don't stay in our comfortable circles, but move out into new territories as the Holy Spirit leads us. And then, as we move out, we suddenly discover that the world offers us many different options. And this leads us to the second characteristic, that we need to be selective about where we go in the world. Obviously, we are mortal human beings. We can't do everything and be everywhere. But still, Jesus is asking us to be even more selective than that. As he says, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many enter that way. Narrow is the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find them are few. And so here we're starting to see some of this discernment that the world will present all sorts of different opportunities for us. And many of them are ones that we need to turn away from. And as you follow in the path of Jesus, as you read his words, as you study things like the Sermon on the Mount, then you will discern which ways you can go, where the limitations will be. And so here we know that the Christian life is a path of discipleship. It is a path of commitment. That there are certain sacrifices that need to be made along the way. Paul in Romans 12 refers to the Christian life as a living sacrifice. And here this is attuned to Jesus' words of the narrow path, the narrow way. There are many things that would distract and charm us in this world. And just as you've already heard, the example of taking up a new diet and making that commitment to eat salads, but then that bag of potato chips and then that piece of chocolate pie over there starts calling your name. And so we see here a metaphor, once again, of the Christian life being one where there are certain sacrifices that will need to be made for the sake of building forgiveness and love and reconciliation in our communities. The third characteristic is that we are to be productive. Jesus himself here gives us a sense of how we are to discern among these different options in the world. And he says we need to be attuned to what people produce. Be aware of false prophets who come to you dressed up as sheep while underneath they are savage wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can grapes be picked from briars or figs from thickets? A good tree always yields sound fruit and a poor tree bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit or a poor tree sound fruit. A tree that does not yield sound fruit is cut down and thrown on the fire. That is why I say you will recognize them by their fruit. This is a situation where we are not finding that our good works earn us a place in heaven. This is a debate that Christians have had for several centuries. But once again, this is a situation when God is working through us, when we are actively seeking God's will, when we are denying those charming voices that will pull us away from the path of discipleship, Then we start listening to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works through us. God's Spirit works through us to produce that fruit. And so this is a metaphor that runs nicely with the image of the tree that's planted by the water. Now, the tree that is nourished by the water, spiritual guidance and prayer and Bible study, now bearing this great fruit for the rest of the world. The tree is not doing that for the advancement of the tree, but for the advancement of God's kingdom. And as we move out in the world, Jesus is telling us we can judge the voices that are out there by the fruits that are associated with them. And yet at the same time, there are some sobering words here about false prophets. And then this leads us into the fourth point, the fourth characteristic of a grounded life, and that is the authenticity of that life. And so we have Jesus' words here, his caution, beware of false prophets who come to you dressed up as sheep, while underneath they are savage wolves. And then from there in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who will do the will of my heavenly Father. When the day comes, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Out of my sight, your deeds are evil. These are some of the most sobering and sometimes disturbing words in the Sermon on the Mount and perhaps in all of the Bible. We love to quote the passage, well done, good and faithful servant, because we're yearning to hear those words. But do we confess those moments when we might be false prophets? When we might be bearing false fruit? When we have wandered astray? Jesus is asking us as his disciples to come before him humbly, to bow before him, to confess our sins, and to listen to his teachings to identify the other areas in our life where we are being false prophets. And he's asking us instead to bear good fruit, and he's asking us to serve authentically in his name. So we're to be active, selective, productive, authentic. And the last characteristic is to be attentive. To be one who listens, who's aware. And with that listening, we will gain wisdom. And we come to Jesus' final metaphor in the Sermon on the Mount, which will sound similar to Psalm 1 in some ways. So whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them is like one who had sense to build his house on rock. The rain came down, the floods rose, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because its foundations were on rock. And whoever hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like one who was foolish enough to build his house on sand. The rain came down, the floods rose, the winds blew and battered against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Those of us who love the beach, who've been out there to build sandcastles, know the frustration of trying to get sand to stay in the architecture magnificence that we're trying to build. Particularly if we're right there near the water that comes in and just completely obliterates the sand structures that we are building. This is a magnificent metaphor, and it resembles Psalm 1 because we get the life of the righteous being the planted, rooted life on firm foundations, that great tree, and here the house built on rock. But then the countering image of the chaff blowing around in the wind and hear the house built on sand just completely falling away when that water rushes in and pulls the foundation out from underneath it. Two dramatic images here, but Jesus gives us some more guidance here on the difference between the good builder and the foolish builder. And it all hinges on whether we are attentive, whether we're listening to the words that Jesus shares with us. Have we listened to the Sermon on the Mount, or has it gone in one ear and out the other? And as we look at our lives, we are surrounded by good voices and good teachers. But do we let that wisdom stay with us? Or do we discard it? And do we go on our merry way building on sand when that storm looms on the horizon? The question is, what kind of life are we building? If we listen to Jesus, there is a wisdom that comes on us, not something that we can celebrate as our own, but something that comes on us that allows us to see the foolishness of so many of the options in this life that we have adopted in the past. But now it is time for us to abandon them, to build on the solid rock, and to follow Jesus and to listen to his call. And so as 2019 opens before us, as this new calendar year opens, it's kind of arbitrary, but this is a cycle that we go through. We as Christians would want to make this commitment at any point in our lives, but any discipline that causes us to be self-reflective, I think, is something that we can embrace. And this is a point for us to look at where our lives are. And as we move into this new year, will we look for new ways to find where God's will is? Will we step out of our comfort zones and actively seek to find what Jesus wants for us? Will we then look for ways to maintain the discipline of discipleship and not let the voices of this world pull us away from what Jesus wants us to accomplish? And if we do those things, we put ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit can use us. And the grace and the love and the peace that we've talked about in the Advent season can flow through us and be fruit to the benefit of those around us. And as long as we are authentically seeking God's will, humbly approaching God's throne, relinquishing those things in life that pull us away and make us hypocrites, and instead authentically seek God's kingdom, then God will be able to work through us. And if we are attentive, most of all, to the words of Jesus, to study the Gospels, to seek to live them out as he calls us to do, then there will be all sorts of opportunities for us in this new year. May we seize them, and may we build our houses and our lives and 2019 on a firm foundation. Now we come to the special time in our service for you to start thinking about your own commitments for today and for the days to come. Have you made a commitment to be a disciple of Christ? If not, now is the opportunity for you to do so. For this church community to receive you, to pray for you, to encourage you on the path of discipleship. Or have you already made that commitment to be a follower of Christ? Have you made that commitment central to your life, or have you let other things distract you and clutter your life? Do you look back on 2018 with certain regrets? and desire that in 2019 you would grow closer to God and that the path of discipleship would be more your home. Now is the time to make that commitment as well. Jesus is listening. The Holy Spirit is moving. May we respond in our different ways. As we stand together and sing our hymn, hymn number 292, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, let us stand together and sing hymn number 292.